Kumlana Black Gemara, Mitzoy Shabbos, Parshas Vaychi. We are up to the Gemara of Membeis Amud Aleph, the tail end of Kol Shah. The last thing we learned about was that water should be, it's called Mayim Shalanu, that water has to rest overnight before you can use it for matzah, so you should take it out of the creeks and the springs, because as Rashi explains, in the winter, even though it's cold up in the land, but the water actually is warm. And he quotes, because the sun is shining on the water. And the different explanations we're going through right now. And therefore, it's called Mayim Shalom. The water has to be taken out at the beginning of the night and leave it outside overnight. And many places, there's a whole dance and ceremony that comes with it, with Mayim Shalom. And then we learned about what happened in the city of Papuyonis. I didn't understand what he was saying. So we're up to the Gemara right here, and we spoke about it last time. So we're up to the Gemara here, about 10 lines before the end of the whole Perek, which starts at Dorash Rova, the last word of the line is Isha. So it's 10 lines above where the Perek ends. The last word of the line is Isha, Dorash Rova, Rova Darshant. Isha, a woman. Loi Tolesh Bechama, shouldn't knead in the sun. You shouldn't knead in the sun because the sun is hot and it's going to cause, it's accelerate the process of becoming chametz. So we don't want that to happen. Nor something that became hot from the sun. Again, you shouldn't knead over there because then again it accelerates the process of becoming chametz. Nor do we want you to take water out from this copper kaolin vessels that sit in the oven and they become very, very hot. So any water you take out from there is very hot, that water, and it can cause the dough to become chametz very quickly. The loit takbiya yoda min hatanur, she should not lift her hands from the oven, achetigmar es kol hapas, until she completes the dough. So Rashi learns, even though it says the word oven, it means you should continue working with the matzah and don't pause for too long because it can turn into chametz. Others say it means don't do anything else apart from the oven and the matzah, because don't be distracted. Shnei kelim, that she should have two vessels. Echad shemekatefes by one, which the dough she would touch in the water, dip it in the water, and that causes the water to come a little bit warm because she has her hands are warm. But echad shemetzaneri, another one that she puts her hands in to cool down, because the water that's warm is becoming, in a way, can start becoming chametz and so on. So we don't want that to happen. So we want her to have two separate, barrels. And because the one that she uses to put the dough in for to get wet and dip it in becomes warm. And by her, because her hands are warm and the dough she puts in there, so we don't want her to cool her hands down there. Iboilu, question is, Avra v'loshama, what happens if she went ahead and she kneaded anyway? According to Rashi, the question is really talking about if she went ahead and kneaded it with hot water. What is the din? And according to many others, we're talking also about if you did not do Mayim Shalanu. What happens if you went ahead without Mayim Shalanu and you made matzah? What happens? Mazutra Amud said Motar. It's all right. Rav Ashi Amar Asa. Rav Ashi says it is forbidden. Amar Mazutra. Mazutra says, how do I know? How do I know that b'di eved it's all right? The time we learned, Ein loitzin asa oidin b'pesach. We learned you did not soak, dip barley, Pesach in water. If you did nizbaku, you shouldn't have. If you look at it later, if it looks like the dough is splitting open, as soon as it looks like it's fermenting, it's forbidden. Lo nizbaku, but if even though we told you not to do it, but if it wasn't cracking, it's mutter. So we see that even though we told you not to do something, but if you did it, as long as it doesn't look like chametz, it's all right. But Rav Ashi says, otu kulu chodem mechita machtin, or you'll use one needle for all of these things. Hey, where it says, and where it doesn't say, it doesn't say. In other words, even b'di eved is no good. So according to Rashi, we're talking about if you use hot water to knead. But and then Rashi asked the question, what about if we're saying over here that every law is different? And if you didn't do Mayim Shalanu, for example, it's no good. So how can we learn a few days ago that you use the dough of a goy, you can eat their matzah, just it shouldn't be matzah's mitzah? They didn't use Mayim Shalanu. So Rashi says, when we say that you're not allowed, that if you didn't listen, it's no good, it's not because it's no good, it's because we penalize you for not listening. But the goyim, there's no point in penalizing for them not listening. The Rambam actually argues, and therefore he learns that matzah made by a goy. Those matzah even have all the telltale signs that it's not chametz, it's all right. You're not allowed to eat it on Pesach. Because it didn't use mayim shalanu, and you have to have mayim shalanu. Hadin aloch kosho, that completes the second perek. Now we're going to learn the third perek. So a very quick intro. Till now we learned about chametz on its own. But there's different kinds of chametz. You also have a thing called chametz in a mixture. If you have a mixture, chametz is inside that mixture. For example, beer, and you have, you know, made out of, you know, hops and all that, and made out of wheat, grains. If you have a mixture where the chametz is dissolved, and it's not recognizable on its own, but it's 100% chametz that's in that mixture, that's called chametz ayidei taruvus. And we're going to have an argument whether you're not allowed to eat it, or in fact, according to one opinion, you're allowed to eat it on Pesach. From the Torah. That's called chametz gomur ayidei taruvus. Complete chametz through a mixture. Then you have a thing called chametz nuksha. Chametz nuksha means chametz that is tough, that is hard. Chametz nuksha means that it's bad chametz. It's not really edible. Inedible. And that's a lower state. And then you have chametz nuksha ayidei taruvus. This chametz nuksha got mixed up with other things, which we'll soon see. So we're going to learn an argument whether you're allowed to, first of all, have it on Pesach, and whether you're allowed to eat it on Pesach. From the Torah, the Rabbanon, do you get Karis, you don't. So, the Mishnah starts off giving us Ve'elu Oivrim B'Pesach, the following things you are liable for on Pesach. According to Rashi and the Rivo, we mean you're over by your Ro, by your Matzah, if you happen to have these things in your house on Pesach. According to Rabbeinu Tam, there's no by your Ro, by your Matzah, only on Chametz that you get Karis, then you shouldn't have it in your house. But this Chametz here, because you do not get Karis for this Chametz, there's no prohibition of bayiro or bayimotze. It's only that you shouldn't eat it. The rabbis, whether they say you shouldn't have it according to Rabbeinu Tam, we're talking about beer, whiskey, and all those things, if you're allowed to have them in your house on Pesach. The rabbis, whether they say you shouldn't have it, it depends why in the first places we said, even if you did bittul, you disowned the chametz, you still have to get rid of it. Is it because we're scared you might come to eat it? Then these things also, beer, whiskey, you might come to eat it. But if the reason is because the Torah is so strict and says if you have it, you're committed the sin of bayiro and bayimotzeh. Therefore, even if you made bittul, the rabbis don't want it in the house, because maybe your bittul is not sincere or whatever, it might change your mind. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, there is no bayiro and bayimotzeh when it comes to chametz mixed up, you know, mixed into something else. Then you would actually allow to have it in your house, even with the Rabbanon. But then Rabbeinu Tam adds, when I say beer and whiskey, you're allowed to have, it's only talking about what you have, it's made out of dates or other things, but you add a little bit of barley. But if it's totally made out of chametz, then it's considered the whole thing is chametz. And even I will agree, you're not allowed to have whiskey or beer and all that kind of stuff. Then the whole question arises, so if you treat the beer as if it's barley, then why do you make a bracha shahakal? Or on vodka, whatever, why do you make a shahakal? You should make ha'adama, because it's all barley. And the general answer is given is because it's not recognizable as barley, it's dissolved in the water, therefore you make a shakel. Now let's learn the Mishnah. So Rashi learns Elo Oivr means you're not allowed to have it because you buy your own, and Tosfos means Elo Oivr means if you eat it, you're Oivr, the Pesach. Now we're going to give it, we're not talking about Chametz Gomer, we're talking about Chametz Gomer in a mixture. We're going to give you four examples. Kuta Chababli, it's a mixture we learned about before already, it has pieces of bread which eventually becomes moldy, you have milk whey, you know, after you take the cheese out, the watery part of the milk, and you put in salt. So you have real bread in there, but it's mixed in and it dissolves. Next one is, and it's called Bavli, Babylonian. The next one is Sheikhar Hamadi, beer made in muddy, where the beer, even though it's made out of dates, it also has a little bit of barley in there. Chaymitz of Adami, wine vinegar that comes from Edom. Because the wine, as the Gemara will tell us, is such good quality, it never turns into vinegar. So you have to add some barley to make a vinegar. And Vizisum Hamitzi. And that's another thing we'll learn later on, which a third of it is barley, again, another kind of a beer. That's chametz gomer ayidei taruvus. Now we're going to learn chametz nuksha. The zumish shel tzaboim, we're going to learn about the people who dye things. This is flour of bran, we'll see later, that the white water from bran. And they use it to dye leather. So again, this is very not edible. So this is chametz nuksha. Va'amilin shel tabachim, they take a bread and they put it on top of a pot to absorb all the scum and everything else, and it's not really edible. And koilin shel seifim is like glue that makes out of flour, rye flour, and it's used by scribes. We see used by leather tanners. So these are all not mixed in, they're just nuksha on its own. So all of these, you either by Rabbi Yavatzai or according to Meitam, you only get an avera, but there's no karis. Rabbi Lezer, I mean, af tachshiti nashim. I'm going to add one more thing. Even tachshiti here doesn't mean things that they adorn them. It talks about like perfume and other things and makeup. And that is chametz nuksha in a mixture. And I hold that's also forbidden to eat. Zeklah, this is the rule. Kosher means doing anything which is a grain. You're over on Pesach. This Rabbi Lezer is saying, because according to Tanakama, chametz nuksha, which is a grain, if it's in a mixture, you're not over. If you eat them, you get a lav, the ain't behemish and karas. None of these things you get karas. You only get karas if you eat chametz on its own. Or even if it's in a mixture, but you can tell the chametz, you can see it. Not if it's part of a mixture and dissolves. Says the Gemara. There are three things said about this kutachabavli mixture. Number one, matamtimzalev. Number one is that it makes your heart all stuck up, all stuffed. Umisamis, and I'm blinds you. Machiz, a goof makes you weak. Matamtimzalev, it blocks up your heart. Because of the way the milk way that causes it affects your heart. And why does it blind you? Because mishum milcha, it has salt, and this is the salt that you, very strong salt, and if you touch it and you rub your eye, it can blind you. That's why you wash mayim acharonim by a meal. And the third thing is a makrish as a guf. It actually weakens your body. Why does it weaken your body? Mishum, because of kuminisa de umma. Because of the, eventually in this kutach mixture, the bread becomes moldy. A moldy bread is very bad for you. Increase, you're going to the bathroom. The kaifin as a kaima, make you hunched. And the nightly nechem chamash meiz moish and hashadam, it takes a 500th away from your eyesight. Eluhain, the following items. Pas kibra, black bread. Black bread is not good for you. Like pumpernickel bread, b'sheicha chodesh, and new beer didn't age, and the yedek, and also chai, and also raw vegetables are bad for you. And Rashi says, what kind of raw vegetables are you talking about? He said, we're talking about leek, onions, and lettuce. But Rashi says, he adds an addendum, only rider, he says, only if it's eaten a lot of it, and very often. For me, lunch. Like there are three things. Imagine as ever, three things that actually reduce you going to the bathroom. Vizayk in the kaima and straightens out your posture. Umeid in the sanayim and illuminates your eyes. Ve'eluhain pasniki if you have bread with fine flour, basa shomim fatty meat and yayin yoshin and old wine. Now the Gemara explains what the definition. Pasniki clean bread is the smida. We're talking about fine flour. Basa shomim fatty meat. We're talking about the tzepirta the after. Usually tzepirta you think is a bird. But Raja Tzvita is a goat that never had any kids before. And therefore, it's very fatty. And Yayin Yoshin, what's old wine? Atik Atiki, old wine. And Rashi was a wine merchant. So therefore, he tells you it has to be at least 3 years old. So anything bottled after 1918 onwards, don't buy it. Because it has to be at least 3 years old. Now, the Gemara is a fascinating thing. A medical thing. Kol mili demal lahai. Any food that we tell you, or even medicine, that's good for one part of your body actually has side effects and might be harmful to another part of your body. It's bad for one part, it might be good for the other part. Bar mizangbilurativa, except this moist ginger, number one. Upulpularich, the long pepper, they're good for you, peppercorns. Upasnaki, bread with fine flour. Ubasa shaman, fatty meat. The yayin yoshin, an aged wine. The mali lakulagufa, these things, ginger. And pepper and bread and fatty meat and aged wine is good for your entire body. There are no side effects, no adverse effects on you. Sheikh al Hamadi, this beer from mud, what is it? The Rama Bay Mesari, you put into there barley, you put into some water of the barley. So therefore, it has mamish chametz, but it's dissolved. So therefore, you don't get karas for it. The chametz, the vinegar from Edom, the shodah beside, you put in the barley. Amram Nachman, in the beginning, when they used to bring from Yehuda to the Mizbeach wine libations from grapes that grew in Yehuda, the wine never turned sour. And Rashi adds, this was in the merit, because they took the wine and they used it as such a noble thing as putting it down the Mizbeach, they merited that the wine with such fine quality, it never turned sour. It never fermented, never became vinegar. It had to put in a catalyst like barley to turn into vinegar. It's called vinegar. It was wine vinegar, but it came really from barley. That's why it's called chametz through a mixture. But now, ein yenim shalodeim machmis today, Today, then it is a Jewish wine. But after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, we lost that capacity to have such wonderful wine, and it moved to Italy. And Yenam Shaladim Machmit is the wine from Edom, from Rome, that doesn't turn sour. And they put barley in there. And they call it the vinegar from Edom. Why can't it both be in tandem? Why is it that, you know, when the Eden are doing well, their Edom wine is not, and vice versa? This actually fulfills a pasuk, where it says in the pasuk, it says, when you destroy Yerushalayim, imolo hecharov, I will fill Edom when I destroy Yerushalayim. So you see, one is up, the other one is down. If this is full, that's destroyed. If this is full, that's destroyed. So when Yehuda's wine is good quality, Edom's is not, and vice versa. From here, it says by Yesov and Yaakov, so the two nations there, one nation from the other nation, will be stronger than the other one. No, they can't both be at the same time strong. But if Esav is stronger, Yaakov won't be. If Yaakov is stronger, then Esav won't be. Tanya Lev Yehuda, the Shoinen, Abuda said Yehuda at the beginning, Halakeh, Chaymetz Mama Oretz. Remember, we learned a few times that if you purchase something from Amma Oretz, we suspect that although they gave Truma, they might not have given the Maisa. They don't treat Maisa with such respect. Even the majority of Maratzim do, but some don't. So we call anything you buy from Amma Oretz, we call it Demai, which means it's made up of two words, da mai. What is this? So if you buy vinegar from Amma Oretz, the question is, wine vinegar, if it's wine, you need to give Maisa. Says he, ain't a tzorech l'asa, you don't have to give Maisa. For sure, it didn't come from the wine, because wine doesn't turn sour. It's actually coming from temet. It comes from water that they would put the grapes in the bottom. They would put the grapes in the bottom, and the water would sit there, and the water would absorb the taste and the flavor of the wine. And therefore, it's not really wine. You don't have to give maisa. That was then. But actually today, how you buy vinegar, you have to give maisa. Today the wine does turn sour, so therefore it ferments, and therefore probably the wine is wine vinegar. Notice the quality of the wine became poor, so if you have wine vinegar, it probably came from real wine. Says the Gemara, so you're telling me, but let's say in the olden days when it was temed, when it was just water that you put on top of the grapes, it's not really, you don't have to give maisid. If somebody makes the wine, you know, that method by putting wine and sitting on top of grapes, if you put in there, let's say, a certain amount, a pint of water, and then you took out a pint of let's say, wine, potter. So you didn't increase any more wine. It's the same water. It just looks now like, so there's no wine there at all. But Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev, Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda says chayev because he says that now that the water looks like wine, tastes like wine, this is wine. So we see that temet also is considered wine. So the Gemara Hochi Kamar, this is how we should learn. Two answers. Either the reason why Amaratzim don't give Meister is they think, why should I give 10% away? It's a lot of valuable wine. But of course, all this is water, sat on grapes, even though it's wine legally, they don't treat it as, you know, as expensive, just water, and therefore they'll give it to the Levi, they don't mind. So there's nothing to suspect, you can rely that they gave it. Or anybody say, actually, you do suspect him. The Lekasha, however, there's not a problem. It depends what they put the water on. Where he said that you have to give Maiser is talking about that you actually have pieces of grapes there where the water sits, so therefore there's wine inside those grapes, trapped in the grapes. Sits the water sits long enough, some of the wine oozes out of the grapes. And even if you take out the exact same measurement, it just displaced each other. In the water you have real wine, so you have to give. And the point that he says you don't have to give it all, it's just water, hobbit the porcini. Over there were just the skins or the seeds of the grapes, and because it's only the seeds of the grapes, therefore there's no real wine there at all. It's only water. And that's why you don't have to give maisa. Okay, it says the Gemara further. Says the Gemara further, yeah. My zisum hamitzi. What's this Egyptian zisum? Tanu Rabbi Yosef, tilsa side, a third of it is barley, tilsa kurtmi, a third of it is saffron, but tilsa milk, a third of it is salt, some kind of a drink, a beer. Again, there's chametz there, but mixed in and dissolved. Rapapa mapisai, he takes out barley, uma'ayil chiti, puts in weight, a third wheat, a third chiti, a third wheat, a third saffron, a third salt. Visimon, if we want to remember who said what, sisne. The word sisne is kind of a vessel. And it has two samachs in it. So Rabbi Yosef, who samach, is sa'ir and barley, which is samach. Torlu, they mix these three components together, three ingredients together, the kololu, and then they roast it in the oven, the tochnu, they grind it. The shos, and they drink it, medivcha v'adatzot, they drink it from Pesach until Shavuos. They commit, those people who, let's say, are constipated, marpele, it cures them. Udarafin, those people have loose bowels, mekamedle, it sort of makes it unloose. But l'choyle li'isha ubra sakanta, but a pregnant woman or a sick person shouldn't drink it, it's dangerous. Now we're talking about chomes nuksha. What's the zumish of tzaboy in these dyes? Here we say that what zumish thing? It's bran water from bran. So bran is one of the five grains. It is mamish chome, but it's not edible at all. What do you call it? The lamba, which they dye the hides. Amilin shel tavochi. What's amilin shel tavochi? He says, what is it? He says, this is what the cooks use in the kitchen. What is it? So he says here, past for this is bread made out of grain, shlevi, a shlish, that didn't get a third ripe. Sheminicha pikdeir, so not really edible at all. And you place it on top of a pot, v'shoyev es hazuama, and it draws in, it sucks in all the junk, the scum and all that. So again, this is chametz, but it's not edible, so it's just a step lower. The kolon shel soifri, mochat ha-gumovi, they say, you know what kolon shel soifri is? Pereira, this is crumbs, the dash chufa, they say that this is crumbs from ushbuchi, that this is what they use for leather as glue. They use leather as glue. And this is basically a flour from rye. It's rye flour. And there's a kind of very sticky, and they used to use that to put the leather together. I'll tell you what it is. This is actually what the rich girls use. They used to use that as a depilator to remove the excess hair. And they would use flour to, they would stick it on the thing, and the leftovers they would give to the girls of Anim. So why do we care only about the leftovers that are poor, but what the rich themselves? They're using flour to remove the hair. And it's not really edible, but no, because by then, they, as soon as they put the flour together with the liquid, they use it straight away, they have a chance to become chametz. But then they would give it to the poor, it became chametz. Or they used to mix it with a bunch of other things. So then, you know, it was a very minute part. It's only to what they gave to the poor, they took away all the other things, and they only gave the flour part to the poor. My Sigmar says, it doesn't make sense. Why? You want to tell me that Koilon Shal Seifim is this thing that they used to use to remove the excess hair, the body hair. But if you remember, there are four items that belong to different nations. There's three items that we say that you need skills for. Now, we said, for example, the cooks, what they use, that's all these skilled people, or the tanners, what they use. And now you're telling me it's something that all the girls put on to take off the hair. So that's not a skill thing. The we're talking about what they took to remove the hair. My mini umna seeker, where's the skill? You're saying it's a craftsman. There's no craftsman here. That little more goes back. So what do you want to say? Peru de ushcha. You're going to say it's those crumbs from ushbucha that they use that kind of glue to put together the leather. Rye flour. Am I called a high kolosha seifim? Why is it called in the Mishnah? This is the glue used by the scribes. Kolosha that's only by they should be said that these are the glues used by the tanners. No, it's really it's the glue that was used by the tanners. Why do we call it the glue of the scribes? The because the scribes also use it to attach their papers together. So we refer to it as koilon shel seifrim. And that's what we call the koilon shel seifrim. Says the Gemara. Interesting, Rashi brings here that the poor girls. Why do we take Koilon Shel Seifim? Because the Seifim were very poor. We're going to learn a Gemara later that the Chachamim davened that all teachers and all Seifim should forever be poor. And they shouldn't go to career being a Seifim to become rich. Because then they won't do too much. If they're poor, they'll be hungry and they'll go ahead and they'll write as many Sfarim as they can and they'll teach as many kids as they can so that they should have a Parnasa. So we didn't want them to have too comfortable a life because then they won't teach too much. So nobody goes into teaching career to make a lot of money. You go because you care about kids and you care about teaching others. Says the Gemara further, Rabbeleza came along and added Aftach Shishin Asher. So what's Rabbeleza adding? According to some, Rabbeleza is not really arguing, he's just adding another example. But according to others, he's arguing. He's saying there's another layer, Chametz Nuksha, inedible Chametz. Even if it's in a mixture, you still have an Avera if you eat it, or according to Rashi, even having it by Yiro. Says the Gemara, Tachshita Noshim. First of all, Tachshita Noshim is not an item that's edible, it's clothes. Salka Datach, what do you mean? Tachshita Noshim is basically makeup. They put on their faces, like, you know, for the eyebrows, painting their faces and so on. What does that have to do with eating? Ela'ema, Af Tipuli Noshim. He means also those things that they took to remove the hair, which they put flour to remove the hair. Don't remember that? Benois Yisrael, Jewish girls. Now, L'chayda, he's adding the same thing as the previous guy added, right? And Tosfos said this before, we're talking about removing facial hair. And here we're talking about removing the rest of the hair of the body, which is much more mias, and it's much more inedible. Jewish girl, shegil, the perk of the reach puberty, they reach puberty. But they did not reach the age, so they were a bit embarrassed that they had all this hair. Is benois anim, they were poor, typhlis, ice, and basid. They removed them using lime because they couldn't afford flour and all that. Benois Ashirim, the wealthy ones, Teiflis, Ois, and Besailas, remove them with flour. And Benois Malachim, a royalty, Beshemen Hamor. They would use this Shemen Hamor, oil of Mor. What is that? My Shemen Hamor. First of all, Shenemar says, Shishachadosh Hamor, by Achashvedish, when Esther was there, 6 months they spent putting on this oil of Mor. My Shemen Hamor. What is the Shemen Hamor? What about you, Mamar? Sitchas. Everybody said, it's Sitchas. And Rashi says he's not exactly sure what that is. Rav Yirmiyahu Rabbah Shemazai, this is olive oil, Shalahavi Shlish, that didn't mature, that the olives didn't mature a third, and then he, as they were growing, before they reached a third of maturity, he took them off and he started squeezing out that olive oil. That's what they use to remove their hair. Tanya, Rav Yirmiyahu says, Anfikin. What's Anfikin? Anfikin is something that they used by a mincha. It says there by a korban mincha, by a flower offering, you should not bring anfikin. What is anfikin? That shemen zayis shlehevi shlish. That's what we talk about, an olive that didn't mature a third. So why would they smear this oil upon themselves? This is a perfect thing to remove painlessly all of their hair. Umaadas abas has an additional feature. It's like a moisturizer. It makes their flesh shine and look alive, with a certain glow coming off their flesh. Okay, so that is one blot.